The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So let me take you on just a very quick kind of tour of our house, where we live, my wife and I. In our house, we have what is called a great room. And that large room consists of four other rooms. There's a living room that transitions into a dining room, that transitions into the kitchen, that transitions into a kind of a kitchen nook. And by the way, the picture that you see on the screen is actually our dining room. The living room comes first, then the dining room, and that's a picture of our family gathering several Christmases ago. But the dining room is where we're going to be this morning. This summer we have been kind of looking at the God-centered home as pictured by different rooms in a house. So this morning, the dining room. Now, I realize not everybody has a house with a dining room, but you have a house where people gather to eat. And so the dining room in our home is where family gathers. We have friends, we have guests, a variety of people gather, primarily for the purpose of food and fellowship. That's kind of what you do in a dining room at the dining room table. And but beyond that, in our dining room, around our dining room table, memories are made. And friendships form. And relationships are built. And there's a lot of laughing that goes on. Occasionally we shed tears at our dining room table. It's where my wife and I serve up hospitality, primarily. It's not the only place we do this, but it's one of the places, and probably the primary place, where we serve up hospitality. So when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you, whether you're a single or a couple or a family unit, when's the last time you served up hospitality? Just think about that for a minute, okay? Have you ever done that? Maybe you're from a family that you grew up and you saw that modeled really effectively. And so it's just like, yeah, I grew up in a home where that just happened all the time. Or maybe not so much. Even if your home or your house doesn't have a dining room, are people welcome there? Do you extend invitations for people to come for a meal or a game night? Or you hear about a family that's in town and they need lodging and it's like, hey, we've got a spare room. They can stay with us. That all kind of is what hospitality looks like. So the God-centered home is where we've been this summer, and we have been kind of taking a tour using the different rooms in a house to picture family life. So we've been to the basement. We've been to the studio. We've been to the bedrooms. We've been to the closets. We've been to the kitchen. We've been to the bathroom. Don't make too much of that one, okay? But we've been there, all right? And all of those rooms represent some aspect of family life. So this morning, we're going to be in the dining room. That's where we're going to gather, in the dining room, where guests gather, where hospitality happens usually. Now, hospitality can happen outside of a home. I mean, a house is usually where it happens, but I'm going to suggest that hospitality can happen like in your backyard. It can happen at a campground. My wife and I attended an event last night where hospitality happened in a very generous way. So the first time in our lives, we attended what's called a shrimp boil, a shrimp boil. And Sean Harding and a good friend of his, they hosted this thing for family and friends, and we attended this shrimp boil at the pavilion of Shawnee Lake. And it was nothing short of hospitality, where food was served with a lot of visiting and fellowshipping and eating that went on. And let me just say this. Sean, who is a member of our church and loves to cook, I mean, to know Sean is to know someone who loves to cook. But he took it as an opportunity to show and share Christ. He was not at all backward about praying before we ate. He was not at all hesitant to mention the name of Jesus, where probably half the people there, at least, probably don't even know the Lord. And he just served up hospitality at the Shawnee Lake Pavilion using a shrimp boil. I mean, that's pretty creative, isn't it? To do something like that as a demonstration of hospitality. And I'm going to take us just on a quick tour of examples of hospitality that we find in the Bible. And you may be surprised how many different examples there are of hospitality. Very quickly, Abraham, Genesis chapter 18. Abraham stood outside of his tent. He welcomed these three men who were coming to him. And as a hospitable ancient Near Eastern host, he provided for them a meal. He gave them cakes and curds and milk and a tender calf. And that was, in case we miss it, that's hospitality. Just receiving people. By the way, he was not expecting them. They just showed up. And his first thought was, how can I serve you? You're probably hungry. Let me prepare a meal. By the way, God himself is very hospitable. 1 Kings chapter 19, we have an example of Elijah who's running from Jezebel, and he's exhausted, and he's depressed, and he wants to die, and God meets him there at that moment in his life. And you know what God did? He baked cakes on a stone. He provided him with a jar of water, and he was hospitable toward this exhausted prophet. 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a woman, unnamed. She offered hospitality to not Elijah, but to Elisha, and she was blessed with a child. Mark chapter 1, Peter's mother-in-law. Did you know Peter was married? Right there in Mark chapter 1, we read about his mother-in-law who was sick with a fever. Jesus came and healed her, and as soon as she was well, I mean, she got up and she prepared a meal for Jesus and the other disciples. That's hospitality. Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 11. They served Jesus and the disciples. How about the Philippian jailer of Acts chapter 16, where he's the one who said, you know, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's right answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He got saved. He got baptized. He invited these guys into his home because he wanted his family to hear the gospel, and he served them there. He served them a meal. First Timothy chapter 5, we're told that widows in that local church where Timothy pastored who were to be brought into the membership of that church needed to demonstrate hospitality before they could become members. And then finally, 3 John verses 5 through 8, we have a man by the name of Gaius who was a model of hospitality in the first century AD. And primarily, And I don't want us to miss this point. Gaius was hospitable toward people he didn't even know. Strangers that he welcomed into his home. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning, primarily. And verse 9 is the verse. This is kind of a one-verse message that we're going to unpack. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul, writing to believers there in Rome, but by extension to all of us who are in Christ, here's the charge. Seek to show hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, this verse was read just a few moments ago. In the context of the last days are upon us, and as we wait for the Lord to return, here's one thing that God expects his people to demonstrate, and that's this in verse 9, show hospitality to one another. What are the next two words? Yeah, with the right attitude, without grumbling. See, in the first century, believers were under persecution. Peter was writing to those that were scattered because of persecution, and oftentimes they had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay, nowhere to live. And Peter is writing to these believers, and he's saying, listen, you may be the only meal these people will be served. You may be the only home where they can stay. So you need to show hospitality, and don't gripe about it. Don't complain that this is something that God is asking you to do. Do it without grumbling. We'll come back to that a little bit later. In the first century AD, Christianity became known as the religion of the open hand and the open heart and the open home. I'm going to suggest that that's still what Christianity ought to be known as the religion of the open hand and the open heart and the open home. Let me just share this one quote from a Christian historian by the name of Edmund Hatch, and he wrote this, "For Christianity was and grew because it was a great fraternity. The name brother came to be an ordinary designation by which a Christian addressed his fellow Christians. It vividly expressed a real fact as a Christian found wherever he went in the community of his fellow Christians a welcome and hospitality. The practice of hospitality was enjoined as the common virtue of all Christians." I've asked my wife if she would come at this point and just kind of talk to what comes to your mind? What do you think about when you think hospitality, Carolyn?
This is different. Okay. Yeah, he did ask me to just kind of talk about that a little bit, and I want you to think about what comes to your mind when you think hospitality. I would say that a definition that really is in line with biblical thinking is that hospitality is a cordial reception of and disposition toward guests. And it's the process of changing people from strangers to guests. And that really is what hospitality is. So when you think of hospitality, what do you think of? Mm-hmm. What's included?
Eating. Yes.
Eating is a big part of it, okay? Now, you can show hospitality without eating, but I don't think it's very easy. So hospitality, you know, with food or at least with a beverage, really does do something to create a bond, and it has an amazing way of just offering a remedy for weariness and a remedy for loneliness, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Eating alone is hard, and some people do it all the time. So when we can give that gift to others, it's a real remedy. Another thing that comes to mind for hospitality is personal attention. I would love to be able to sit down with every one of you and just talk to you and hear your story, hear about your past, hear about your present, hear about your future, you know, hopes and dreams. But I don't get to do that this morning. But little by little, 3, 4, 5 people into our home at a time, that's a real opportunity. We can allow people to share what their lives are. And that includes their dreams and their disappointments and their prayer requests. And you can really get to know people by doing that. I'm just going to mention one other one, and that is safety and protection. Every one of us needs to be welcomed and to be safe. So I would say if you have multiple people into your home at one time, one thing we always want to do is to be careful to include each person and to avoid inside jokes and inside stories. We have been new in several different places. And we know what it's like to be present and yet left out. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because they all know those people. They all know that. They all remember what happened. And we're like, okay, we're here, but we don't have a clue. And so avoid that, because we can create an atmosphere of mutual sharing. In our home, we tried to do it through sharing blessings, mm-hmm. and because everybody has those. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has a personal testimony of salvation. So that's not what we usually start with, but everybody has a blessing of the past week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I might add that hospitality is something that we do as partners. It's a good thing for husbands and wives to partner together in this. It's really hard to be hospitable where either the husband or the wife wants nothing to do with that. Then that's probably not going to happen in your home. That may happen at a restaurant or some other venue. And can I just say this, that hospitality is more about attitude than venue. It's more about your heart, my attitude, my disposition, than it is whether or not I have a big enough house or a large enough backyard or enough food or whatever it might be. Carolyn's right. Hospitality doesn't require food, though food makes it more fun, I think, in most cases, but you can be hospitable without ever serving a meal. According to Romans 12:13 and 1 Peter 4:9, and I want us to get this because sometimes you think, well, what does a message on hospitality have to do with me? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're expected to be hospitable. That's an expectation. That isn't something that you can just kind of pass off to somebody else. No, you're expected to be hospitable. Regardless of resources, I've heard people say, well, I just don't have enough food in the cupboard. I don't make enough money. My house isn't big enough. I don't have the, you know, none of that holds water with God. It's like, where's your heart? What's your attitude? Do you value people? Are you interested in building relationships, not just between you? One of the things we strive to do as we have people into our home is to connect people with people they don't know. And we have watched God build lasting relationships as a result of people meeting for the first time at our dining room table and watch a friendship and a relationship grow out of that. So back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. In the context, I mean, it's like, what in the world, Peter? You're talking about prayer. You're talking about fervent love for one another. You're talking about spiritual gifts, and like right in the middle of that, Peter says, oh, by the way, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. What's grumbling? We all know what grumbling is, okay? I mean, in the Old Testament, they called it murmuring, okay? New Testament, grumbling. Grumbling is complaining. Grumbling is griping. Grumbling is a really bad attitude, okay? And grumbling, and this is my take biblically on what grumbling is. Grumbling is the sinful reaction of those who feel burdened or imposed upon to show hospitality. So God is saying to his people, show hospitality and don't look at it as a burden. Don't feel imposed upon to do that. And if you do see it as a burden, if you do feel imposed upon, that's grumbling. That's the opposite of a generous spirit. So what is hospitality without grumbling? What does that look like? Well, I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but hospitality without grumbling is actually the pursuit of other people. It's reaching out. It's welcoming others into your lives. Why? So you can serve them. It's not welcoming them into your home so they can see what a great house you have, what a great decorator you are, you know, what a great cook you are. That's not why we do hospitality. It's for the purpose of pursuing people, welcoming them, and serving them. By the way, hospitality is not passive. Hospitality is active. Don't wait to be invited. You do the inviting. You reach out. We, as Carolyn said, we have been a lot of different places, new places. And if we waited to be invited, and I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about like our neighborhood, we would still be waiting. If we waited for our neighbors to welcome us to the neighborhood, we'd still be waiting. So we're active, we're proactive, we go to them. And now we're, after 7 years after moving into our neighborhood, of just being proactive and trying to reach out and show ourselves friendly and take baked goods and sweet corn and whatever to our neighbors, they're starting to realize that we're not as scary as we look, you know? You know, you're the pastor. It's like, no, we're okay. We're people like you. We just want to be neighbors. We just want to be friends. Thirdly, it's a willing hospitality without grumbling. Is a willing, I'm going to say cheerful spirit that talks about the blessings of hospitality, not the burden. I'm looking out here this morning and I see a number of people and couples and families that you ought to be up here teaching this lesson because you model hospitality. You show that. You have the right spirit. You have the right attitude. It's a blessing. And guests in your homes feel welcome, and they feel valued. So with that in mind, I've asked my wife if she would come back. You did really well the first time. You can come back now. Okay. And what keeps us believers from being more hospitable? And some of you do it really well. Some of us, not so much. Why don't most of us do it more? What is it that keeps us from showing hospitality? Okay.
I hope you, like us, I hope you talk about that. I hope you kind of try to figure that out. I don't know what keeps you from showing hospitality sometimes, but I know what keeps me from it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's my busyness. Sometimes it's my fatigue. And sometimes, most of the time, it's my poor planning. I just haven't planned it into our week. We haven't looked at our calendar and said, okay, when can we have some people in? So for us, that is the biggest hindrance. And it's just that we are not intentional in terms of planning it. But you know, even when I don't think that I have time to prepare for it, hospitality actually defeats the busyness and gives me a break too, because when people are there, I just get to sit and focus on them. And that's a break that I didn't realize I was going to get. But for some, others, you know, it might be no common interests or the fear of building new relationships. I know that that plays into it for some people, but we all need that. For some, it's feeling an invasion of privacy, you know, bringing people into our own homes or into our world. And especially now in our culture as it is, we as believers have to be even more intentional not to be so guarded, because we're all afraid of each other anyway. And so we have to be intentional in order to bring other people into our lives and into our homes. For some, it's the cost and inconvenience. Well, groceries do cost. That's true. But we eat anyway. We still eat. We still purchase those groceries. And I have found that most people just prefer regular food as opposed to anything elaborate or expensive. Inadequate space or room, that's some for some, you know, if they're living in small quarters. You know, I have watched university students be very hospitable in sharing what they have, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. The other thing I would just say is maybe some think of it as entertaining. We are very poor entertainers. We don't know how to do that. And so we would just say to you, don't think of it as entertaining, but just as hospitality. I don't even like that word, because we don't know how to do it. But just share some food and some beverage and share yourself. Open your heart and allow others to talk to you and welcome them into your life and into your home. Mm-hmm. That's hospitality. Mm-hmm. As Pastor Dave said, remember that it's as much or more, it's more of an attitude than it is an action. It's a way of life that frames our attitudes that goes way beyond our dining room. It's what causes you or might cause you, I hope causes you, to introduce yourself to somebody within this room this morning. Mm-hmm. I really doubt that there's anybody here who knows everybody's name. I don't. And so it's what will cause me to introduce myself and welcome somebody in this room today. Hospitality. It's not a spiritual gift that we have, but it's a gift that we get to give.
Somewhat regularly, Carolyn and I will look at each other as we anticipate having people into our home, and we'll say, you know, we're not that much fun. We don't know how to entertain. You know, we can't keep things lively. But you know what we can do? We can give invitations. We can have people in. We can serve a meal. We can facilitate a conversation without having to do all the talking. We can do that, and you can do that too. I want to just kind of move toward the close of this message by just sharing the benefits of hospitality for your family even if you're a family of one or two, all right, there are benefits for your family as well as for this local church. Shawnee Hills Baptist Church needs its people to be hospitable. And here are the reasons. Number one, it evinces submission and servitude to Christ and to one another. It is a way that we can serve one another. It is a way that we can help one another. It is a way that we can bear one another's burdens as we sit around a dining room table and learn things that we never would have known if we hadn't had people in. Never would have known. Those kinds of things don't come out on a Sunday morning in a context like this. It just doesn't happen. You've got to get a little bit more personal and intimate. Number two, it allows for understanding others' needs and struggles. Carolyn mentioned that we typically, around our dining room table, we will share blessings. We love to hear how God is benefiting his people and bonusing his people and all those kinds of things and wowing his people with things that only he can do. But we also oftentimes will end by saying, how can we pray for you? Now, I'm a pastor, and Carolyn's a pastor's wife, but before too long, I'm not going to be pastor, okay? So I'm going to retire January 1st, and then I'll just be a member here, just a layperson, okay? But we're not going to stop showing hospitality. We're going to keep doing this because it's just kind of what God expects his people to do. So it allows for understanding. We pray. Prayer is a very integral part of hospitality, very integral part. Number three, it affirms the value of other people. Sometimes when we invite people into our home, they act shocked, like, you're inviting me? Yeah. Why not? Well, you know what? I've never been invited anywhere. Well, here's where we start, okay? Just the valuing of people. Hospitality shows no respect to persons. And can I say this, too, that when it comes to biblical hospitality, I think where it shows up the best is when you go and pursue those that are less likely to be invited. I mean, look around campus and look at the students that are part of a 4,000-plus body of students, and they look lonely. Like you see them in Chuck's. Instead of walking by their table, sit down with them. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so. You know what that is? That's hospitality. That's what that is. It's showing that you value other people. So we're a family of six. That is, we have four children. Now, a family of six, when our family was growing up, was the equivalent of a family of 10 today as far as how people looked at us. Okay? So we didn't get a lot of invitations. You got four kids? You know. So I think about my son now. He's a family of 10. They have eight children. And they rarely get invited anywhere because it's like an invasion. You know, he talks about, you know, here comes the thundering herd. You know, nobody wants us in their homes, you know. And so large families typically don't get invited into other homes. But I want to suggest you ought to. And we do that at our home. It, you know, it's usually a one-family event. You know, there's us and a family of 8 or 10. And that's okay. That's okay. Invite people that are less likely to be invited. Invite others into your world. Christianity really ought to be known as the religion of the open hand and the open heart and the open home. I think that's a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hospitality enhances and advances the gospel of Christ. It really does. It renews hope and joy. Sometimes, okay, I don't always want company. Sorry. Sometimes I just want to be left alone, okay? Now, my wife is the one who, like, okay, she would have company, like, every Sunday, and I'm saying just give me one Sunday off, okay? But here's what happens. The days that I'm less inclined to eagerly receive people, I mean, there are Sundays like, okay, we're having 10 people in today. Please don't stay very long, because I just, you know, that's grumbling, by the way. Yeah, I can be a grumbler. Did you see all the food they ate? Those college kids, they can eat you out of your cupboards. There are never any leftovers when college kids come to our house, you know. So what? Really? That's why they're there, you know. It's a nice alternative to Chuck's and Chick-fil-A, Subway. I guess Subway's opening back up again there in Cedarville. Anyhow, renews hope, enriches our walk with Christ. And I think this is maybe the biggest benefit of all. It fosters fellowship. Hospitality fosters fellowship. It builds relationships. You will be amazed at the people that connect with other people. Okay? Now, sometimes we just invite people to know each other because they don't know each other. But sometimes we look at each other and we are going, oh, I hope this goes well. I'm not sure if these two people or these two families are, and then it's like, God's got this. Those are the names you put on our heart. Those are the people they're the ones that accepted the invitation. So here we go. Let's see how this works out. It always works out. It's always worked out. It's an amazing thing to watch God work in building relationships between people that do not know each other at all. One of the things that Carol and I do is we keep a guest book. I think we filled about four or five of those in the 45 years we've been married. But it's fun to look back at, because sometimes you forget, you know, when were they there? But the blessing to us is to read what people write. As they sign their name, they'll say, hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the fellowship. That's a blessing that comes to us. So I have a book that I bought a number of years ago when Rosaria Butterfield was on campus at Cedarville University. She wrote a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And I recommend that book to you if you've never read it. And this is just a brief quote from that book. Here's what Rosaria Butterfield wrote. She said, let God use your home, your apartment, your dorm room, your front yard, the community gymnasium or garden for the purpose of making strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family. Because that is the point. That is the point. Building the church and living like a family, the family of God, starting with you and me and our open door and our dinner table and our house key poised for giving. The gospel coming with a house key is ABC Christianity. Radically ordinary and daily hospitality is the basic building block for vital Christian living. And then she writes, start anywhere. Just start. So I got to thinking about the perfect example of hospitality, and that's Jesus. There has never been anyone more hospitable than Jesus Christ, because he is the personification of one who loves strangers. The word hospitality means lover of strangers. Jesus loves strangers. He loves sinners. He welcomes us into his life. He offers rest. He offers refreshment. He gives hope. He gives joy. He values every single person who's been made in the image of God. He reaches out to them. He doesn't wait for them to come to him because they'll never come to him unless he goes to them. That's who he is. He is the epitome of hospitality. And here's his invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hospitality enhances and advances the gospel. So by the grace of God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, serve it up. Serve it up for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, I pray that what your word says and is so clear about regarding hospitality would resonate with us. Some of us, Lord, it's easier than for others. I get that. Some of us are wired differently than others. I understand that. Some of us are more social than others. That's very true. But none of us have an excuse. We're all without excuse when it comes to welcoming others into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work, first of all, in our hearts. Hospitality begins in the heart. It's an attitude. It's a disposition. It's a recognition that if I'm going to be like Christ, I need to be hospitable. I want others to find rest in my home. I want others to be refreshed in my company and in my fellowship. Lord, I pray that we would have that mindset and that heart attitude. So, Lord, I pray that you would take your word, remind us that we are to show hospitality without grumbling, or more positively, I suppose, we are to show hospitality with joy, with a sense of, thank you, Lord, for giving me what you have given to me that I can share with others for the cause of Christ. May our families, may our church just continue to grow in this area of biblical, generous, gracious hospitality. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll ask our